Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Mind Your Subconscious podcast with your host, Jennifer Schlüter. That's me. And welcome to this conversation that I've had last week with Paula. Paula has been a nurse for, I think, 2 decades. Then she got into hypnobirthing 9 years ago. She's also teaching it. And she's a midwife, she's a doula, and she also takes care of parents after birth. This episode is also part of my spiritual hypnosis training. It was a group call where I brought in an expert in hypnobirthing and where people got to ask questions and we got to interact with each other. So this episode is for everybody who is thinking about birthing, everybody who has had a traumatic birth and wants to birth in a different way, and everybody who has only heard mainstream things about birthing. And this is also for partners. This is not just for women. This is also for men, for partners, for anyone who wants to accompany somebody giving birth. This is a very, very important conversation. If you have not dug deep into the topic of birthing, I encourage you to listen to this, because if you're like me and you may have heard, you know, things like painful births and, oh my God, it hurts so much, it's taking so long, you may need a C-section, you may need an epidural, you may need this and this and that and da 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 da, then you may be afraid of birthing, and you may be afraid that you're, you know, it's going to hurt and your body's going to be destroyed and things are going to be bad and da 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 da. So listen to this episode, because it can be different. You do not need to have a long, painful birth. And Paula is proof of that, and so are many other women. Because when I think about women who are living in countries where, or in villages, you know, where a hospital is very, very far away, or where they don't even have access or the money to go to a hospital, then I'm like, dude, women on fields, probably, they give birth while they're working, or, you know, they've worked until the last day or something, because they just don't, they're not inundated with all of these images of painful, terrible births. And they are literally just, I'm going to call it, popping out babies on the field or in the village or at their homes or whatever. And even I know some of my, one of my relatives, she gave birth to her child within 45 minutes. But she's also a midwife. So again, if you want to birth at some point, or if you're a partner to somebody who's going to be birthing at some point, listen to this episode. It's so good. And let me know what you thought. Send me a message on Instagram or whatever. And let's get started with this conversation.
Guys, this is Paula. And she has been doing hypnobirthing for years. I think 9 years, right?
Almost, yeah.
Almost. So for a long time. And she's here with us today. She's absolutely amazing. And let's get off started with Paula. Just introduce yourself. What is it? Who are you? What do you do? How did you come to do that?
So I'm a midwife for about, I don't know, 16 years now. So it's a long story. But I have a background as a nurse for another 10. And I come from a family, from a small village in Spain, where my grandma had 11 children. And we are 4 in my family. So it's always been birth around very well in our family. So I think I take it from my grandma to wanted to participate and help moms to have babies. So as you can see from my accent, I'm Spanish. So in Spain, the way they help deliver babies, or the way they manage the childbirth, is quite medicalized, is quite intrusive, it's a lot of obstetric violence. And I decided I didn't want to train in there. I didn't want a brainwash. I wanted to really be free and explore other things. I've seen in YouTube a lot of videos and people being able to do things. My grandma was telling me stories amazing of having the 11 children at home. It's like, what's going on in between, you know, a woman with no resources, and then we have all the tools and resources and we forgot how to deliver babies. So that's why I became a midwife. That was the reason to come to a place where it's more in alignment with who I am. And the purpose of my life is to help women during the whole process to enjoy pregnancy, and to have the best experience possible, regardless the outcome. So this is not just to have cuckoo birth or anything. It's not. Whatever the circumstances, I want the mothers to feel like they've been in control, they've been in charge, more than in control, in charge, and being safe, feel safe. So the experience will stay with them forever, but it's also for the babies. The way babies are born matters. And time is telling us. So this is very important that we get to that. So that's why I became a midwife in that sense. And that's what I do. Everything I do on my career is on link. So every single pathway I took is helping me to introduce more and teach in a different way. So that's why, for me, while I did my training as a midwife, hypnobirthing was the missing piece in the puzzle. I have that intuition to use it, kind of, it comes from inside, but I needed the whole kind of evidence for that. So I was so passionate, as you can tell, about this. I'm also a mom of, now he's 7 years old, and he's a hypno baby as well. So if I always say, if I did it and I use it, I experimented everything on myself, on my body, and my brain, so I still got goosebumps of the experience. And I want everybody to have the opportunity to at least try and experience the same as me. I'm not a superhero. I'm not special. I'm just a woman who connected with the body, and I managed to have an amazing experience. I think it's the best ever in my life, where I felt super strong. And, you know, give me a cape and I will be flying after the birth of my baby. So it feels really, really hard, and it breaks my heart when I hear so many sad stories and situations where it's like still, you know, not doing things the right way. So yeah, so that's why I'm linking both things. So yeah, happy to help. I'm actually working in a hospital, so we do a lot of training and for midwives and for, you know, other doulas or professionals who wants to, but also for the moms. But my role now, actual role, is specialist in diabetes. But still, I use the same techniques for my ladies, and it's incredible. Since I'm taking the role, the induction rates have come down, because we teach in the ladies from the beginning to trust their bodies.
What did you say?
Diabetes. Yeah.
What is that?
Gestational diabetes. So when the sugar levels are high.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. sorry. Tell me if you don't hear me or don't understand. Just tell me.
I understood. I heard you. I just needed to get to
it. It's completely, you can say like, completely different things. No. So when I had my boy, I realized that the support we give to women is very limited. So we focus on birth, and then postnatally they are kind of abandoned to their own devices. And I create my own company, very small, but just to be sure that I could help other women. So I create a program that it allows them to go from whenever they want, preconception, conception, until a few months, even a first year of life for the moms, so they have that continuity. And the principles are the same. It's like connecting, it's like getting the best version of yourself. You know, give the opportunity to the new generation to don't have all the baggage that we got from ourselves. And yeah, that's where I discovered that I can do that on my role as a midwife in the hospital. So it has to be something else. And that's how it all started, because my own experience with my boy.
Mm. That's so amazing. And I can really hear your passion on all of this. So thank you so much for sharing this today with us.
No problem.
And
my pleasure.
Can you tell us a little bit about the history of hypnobirthing? Like, how did it come about?
So first of all, let's go a bit of how birth is. So before, we didn't need any health. People were birthing at home or things. It's okay. Most people will say, but it was a lot of deaths and things. Yeah, well, the survival rate, even from humans and adults, was smaller. You know, the age we now can last and survive and be still running around at the age of 80, while, you know, before it was maybe 40. But the whole story of how we changed and we lost the ability of deliver naturally and follow our instincts and, you know, trust the body, came quite far. So it was a King Louis XIV of France. He was very obsessed with childbirth. He had 22 children. So he was asking all the wives to lie down on their backs. So he asked someone to design the chair to birth, when previously everybody used to have upright positions because it's what gravity is the normal. Have you ever, imagine guys, have you ever seen an elephant on the back giving birth? So then why we do it? All started there. So once you start that process where the women were lying on the back and they say, oh, the queen is doing that. So the rest of the population was copied, because if the queen is doing it, that is the one who has the money, as the role model, everybody was copying. And then I started all the problems. So babies getting stuck. It was more problems of long labors, more complications. So the doctors at that point have to invent all the instruments to, you know, the forces, the ventus and all that to help. And people were forgetting completely all about trusting the body. It was now passing all over to the men, to the doctors at that point. And used to have all the midwives on years ago, but then they were kind of like, no, we don't want to give the power to the midwives. Doctors want to take over. So that's where all is a huge generation of us that might not be lucky to see any home births. We're not like never seeing, you know, a proper quiet delivery. So hypnobirthing came when one of the doctors, an obstetric doctor in the UK, observed the first birth when he has to attend a house. And in that house, imagine in the UK, in the 1840, something like that, one of those years. So imagine all houses in UK with only a candle, and he was called to go to attend the birth. And he was a neighbor there doing it, helping. And the woman delivered on their own. So he was like, wow, no, all very calm, no noises, no shouting, push, 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 things like that. So he clicked and I say, how is possible that one woman can deliver babies, you know, bring out the baby without any fear, any pain, anything? So he started thinking about that and why the ladies I normally attend in the hospital are so tense, are in pain. We have to intervene all the time. And I start thinking about that, like what is causing that? So I start looking at the fight and flight reaction, the fears, things. And he come up looking at other people using hypnosis and thought, oh, so if she's very calm, what can I bring into the birth world to use it? So he's using the same concepts other people were using. So this doctor is Grantley Dickrit or something like that. It sounds really, really funny name. So in early 1900 years, something on those lines, he created the first kind of protocol to say, okay, let's teach women, let's use the techniques that they're using in hypnotherapy on those ones. The word hypnobirthing didn't appear until later on, when in America, a woman that was a dean in a school, like, I don't know, he was doing all the paperwork and things like that, but she was always so passionate and all these calm things. She had four kids with no pain relief, nothing. Never imagine, it's America, where everything is like, get a doctor. And the husband was like, you must be special. I mean, why you do that? And she was saying, no, I just read this book, I'm doing myself. So when she got retired, she trained into all these, you know, different specialties, learn more about hypnotherapy and things. And he created a program that, with her own experience with her children, when the daughter wanted to have a baby. So that's when she created, and that came the word hypnobirthing. So it mixed the hypnosis with birthing. So applying all those techniques and tools to give birth. So that is where it all started. And since then, I don't know when it was that. So it's more than 30 years, 40 at least, now that I spread around the world. So one of the first methods that we know is this Mongan methods, but there's so many. In the UK alone, we got four big ones that are recognized by the College of Midwifery. One of them I trained with them, and is the Catherine Grave methods, but there's many. It's the hypo methods as well. So they are all different. So the basics are the same, and I explain now what is that, but it's the methods, each one is using their own way to explain things. What difference to me as a midwife that I can see the process, and I train with someone, and each time as when I have my boy, I realize is that hypnobirthing is not a method, it's a process. Okay, and that's what needs to be clear, because what happens is when you do this training and you teach people and they practice at home and things, they have expectations. So if you sell it as, oh, do a hypnobirthing and you have a pain-free birth, I can guarantee that. What I guarantee with hypnobirthing that it is, it's just using all these techniques from hypnosis, visualizations, relaxation. So we do meditations, breathing techniques, anchors to use. So it's very similar all to what you use in any of the other programs. You can even use tapping if you want. Anything that is going to bring to you that calm thing. So it's basically the missing piece of the puzzles for people who are having a baby to use it during a training during pregnancy to change all these preconceptions and ideas that we got about birth is painful, people die when giving birth, you better get an epidural because that is a humongous baby in there. Nobody's gonna create a baby that's bigger than what the body is capable of doing. Why is possible that a woman that can deliver a 10 pounds baby or what? 5 kilos, baby, if we're talking kilos. You know, and other people just have normal 3 kilos babies. So the body is ready. And if a baby is bigger than always ready, the body will say, okay, bye-bye. Come, time to come out. Okay. So the difference with hypnobirthing itself is that you use all that techniques to help and connect the brain, the emotions, and the body together. The problem with the mother science and the mother world, that's why I came to UK to train with them, and still things needs to improve, was because I didn't want to train and be a obstetric nurse. I wanted to learn more about normal birth. I want to be one of these comadronas. I want to be one of these old midwives that really learn and support the woman. Midwives means with the woman. And the same, it could be applied for this hypnobirthing to any person who wants to train for that, because what you're doing is bringing back to the person, to the connection inside, understand the hormones with the mind, with how the body works. I mean, we are the only mammals in the world that are scared of giving birth. The only ones. Do you see the cats running to you to say, epidural, please, oh my God, epidural, please? No. So that is very important to understand. Our bodies are able. The problems we forgot. We've been programming since kids with that.
Yeah, and I can attest to that. I am not a mother, and yet I'm scared of birthing because everywhere, like subconsciously, I take in the information from all, you know, from everywhere that gives me the information. Birth is dangerous. My body is going to be destroyed. I'm going to need an epidural or a C-section or whatever. And like, it's I'm just being inundated with this. And I as a woman, I'm just like, fuck, like, I don't want to birth. And so I'm really thankful for people like you who are spreading this information. And I feel like, and then I lived in Africa for a long time now. And I'm just like, there's people in African villages, the same as in Latin American villages, Asian villages, they don't go to the hospital. They just birth. Yeah. They pop babies out on the field probably. And because they have to work. Yeah. And then My aunt also, she's a midwife as well, and she has managed to birth her child at home within 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And I
You beat me.
was just like, it's
I
crazy.
can tell you later if we have time, my own experience. You can
Yes.
laugh. It's that is important. It's a new generation of kids that don't know nothing. And the way I always tell my son when he goes to school and is any conversation about birth or things, to always tell first that my mom is a midwife, because I don't want them to think that he knows too much or he says, we need to teach them from the beginning, boys and girls, the anatomy, the real names, and that is no is a miracle. Yeah. So it's not that complicated, but it's because we wanted to interfere. It's like the medicine, all of a sudden, we give it more importance to apart from the money and all that. And that's why they're not interested on promoting that we get more independent. But let's say that's another battle to go on. We can do another hour of that. But with hypnobirthing, what it helps is to go back to why it is not normal that some people can birth so easily and other people can. And that is all because a woman can only birth if she feels safe, if she feels not observed, and if she is with someone they trust. Yeah, and in their own time. So when you have any of you have animals, have you see have the opportunity to see other animals giving birth? Recently it was a lot of fuss on social media because it was the first time ever in one of the zoos where a giraffe was giving birth. It was like 20 years without having that. And I'm thinking, poor thing, it should be free. But anyway, fine. So the people, the zookeepers, they all knew what to do. Calm the lines down, give a space, don't intervene. Why? Because they know the animals only give birth if they feel safe. If you have kittens or you have a cat at home or whatever, they're gonna hide from you. They're gonna find a place that they feel safe, that no one knows, so it can go and give birth. Because once we are in the process, we are very vulnerable. We can escape. It's just we focus inside to give this baby away. So if you don't feel safe, you can. So the scenario nowadays for people to give birth, they go to a hospital. They are not familiar with them. I mean, for me, it was like my second house because, well, I work in there, so fine. Spend more time in there than my own house. The lights are always up. I spent my life, so 16 years of my career in this country, and I'm switching lights all over. If I feel like I'm paying for the bills. It's like, we don't need these lights. We don't need all that. Just make it more relaxed. So people who work, midwives, for example, who are more familiar and working home births or like birth centers, they know that. So we always bring some. I don't know. I used to spend and go to the spa lounge and these soaps, cheap soaps, and buy these little lights to put around and make it pretty and all that. Yeah, we can give this to the woman to make it pretty. That helps them. Closing the door and everybody slamming door, boom, 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 coming in. It's like, oh, I so only need like, hello, we're having business here. So giving birth is like the continuation of the cycle of is part of the sexuality. So when you, unless you're having obviously an IVF that is not very romantic, but when you conceive naturally, I don't think you have all the lights on, people coming in. So giving birth is exactly the same. You need those hormones to work to give birth. So that's one of the things we teach in hypnobirthing. So create that space where the woman will feel safe. It's not like it's not a magic pill with hypnobirthing. So I'm always very clear with colleagues when they start training or with my clients to say, this is not a magic pill. If you don't do the work, the homework, it's not gonna work. If you don't practice, it's not gonna change nothing in there. We can't reprogram anything. If you don't change your environment, you're not gonna get the results you want. But at the same time, it's gonna help you to overcome any circumstances that happen. We can control birth because things can be out of the place, but we can get the best outcomes, the best experience, because we're ready for that. And that's what difference from other methods when they are so strict. And I have this battle, first, like my hat as a midwife, that very medicalized, blah, 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 and understand all that. And then the hat of hypnotherapy is like, okay, let's the body, I'm more holistic. So I managed to get a middle point. Well, I don't lie to the clients and I say, I don't know what's the outcome, but I can promise you, if you take this into account, you put it on your way, you use it the way that is in alignment with you and means something to you, you're going to get the best experience. You're going to learn how to manage your stress and things and let it go, because it's possible. If I could do it, you can do it. And even my clients who had a C-section, they say it was the best day of my life. And I'm like, what I'm doing wrong? All my patients are having C-section and they say they're having the best time of their life. It's like nothing wrong. It's just that the circumstances happen. Something in between didn't go the way they wanted to do in the first place, but still they managed to get a brilliant experience rather than be traumatized. So that is very, very important. And that's how hypnobirthing works. It's just connecting the parts and understanding how it works, the language we use. Someone is saying something in there.
Okay, I'll leave it. Okay, go ahead.
The science is gone? Okay. So don't forget that it's like a process. So we're helping from the process, and each person is different. So I've got clients who say, well, my problem to trying to do this is because I'm scared of having epidural. So I was one of them. I said, well, I'd rather hit me in my head. I don't want an epidural. I don't know what is more trauma. One day I will figure out that out. But I say, I want to try. I want to do it as natural as possible. I was from the beginning, because I was an old mom, I was putting the label of high risk. And I say, I feel healthy. I feel okay. This is going to be amazing. I'm going to have as natural as I can. But not denying that it could something go wrong, but I trust my body. So I changed all that. I said, my grandma's done it. Why I cannot do it myself? So it was very important for me to kind of try on myself first all the learning and then be able to explain to people. So two important things here is how the brain works. So we got different minds. So we got the conscious and the unconscious. So we're giving too much, nowadays, we're giving too much credit to the conscious mind. So the working, the neurocortex here, like calculation, making decisions, things, everything is tomorrow. I want it now for yesterday. So all in a hurry. So this is changing constantly the nerve system. We the more important thing for us is the subconscious. It's like the library where we have all the memories, all the feelings, everything is in there. So every time that our parents have said things to us, especially like from birth to age 7, that is the pathways we copy. It's not even ours. Is what we learn, because we want to fit in that community. So that's what we learn. So if you see your parents going to hospital having babies, it's all the time on the TV, you see a lady screaming in there and they'll run. Someone breaks the water and they have to run. The waters can break, but the baby might not come in the next 24 hours. Why you run? It's, calm down, we got time. But that's what we learn in all the... Every time you go to a movie and you see something labor is that. I don't know if you're familiar with a program on TV, it was one born every minute. That was a disaster. We were telling all the women, please do not watch that program, because we don't do all the time like that. So it's all scary. So the only thing you get is scary. Get pregnant. Well, you know, and everybody will be delightful to tell you all the bad stories. And it's like, why? Why? Tell me something nice. So when I was telling my story or any of my clients, they say, oh, they're lucky. I'm like, okay, if you say so. So how we use our language is very important. That's something we use in hypnobirthing. So we're changing things. We're trying to use a language that is more positive. So the brain start believing on that. We're doing that process. So if someone can, some methods say you use affirmations, so you're trying to lie to your brain. So the subconscious mind doesn't know if it's real or not. You just repeat it until you memorize. But if it's not connected with emotions, it's not gonna work. If I keep saying, I'm very tiny, okay, 151, if I stretch a bit, if not, it's 150 centimeters. So I'm teeny tiny. So if I constantly say, I'm a tall woman, I'm a tall woman, I'm a tall woman, I'm a tall woman, I'm a very tall woman. You know, but if I use other attributes and I say other things, I will feel okay with my height. So that's the point, using that feelings. So you use also how we can, if we need to be calm to give birth, how that works. And we need to explain the women's how that happened. So it's connected. The subconscious mind and the conscious minds, they don't work together. So the subconscious mind is in the background. It's like a computer. So if I tell you, how do you call this thing, the thingy, and someone say, oh, I'll tell you in a minute. You forget, you carry on with your life. And then you are in bed, ready to go to sleep, and that thing's come up. Okay, that's how it works. The subconscious is trying to find that something, and you know, it's like little cabinets with the files, and it's looking in there. So the same is, so if you are fear of birth, your subconscious is going to find you the proof of that. So it's constantly going to see that. It's the same samples, like when I say, for example, for daddies, it's more difficult to understand these things. And I say, every time you're trying to get a new car and you look at one brand in particular, type of model, you only see those all the time now, because your brain is trying to tell you what is going on in that. So what kind of explanatory first intervention do you conduct to understand what is? I can see the whole thing. I'll explain to you in a minute. So basically when we start explaining is that the conscious mind is the present. The subconscious mind is all that you've been keeping in there. The subconscious mind is going to try to keep you safe because it's learning a process and it's trying to keep you in there. So what we're trying to do is not to brainwash your brain, but just to change those beliefs that doesn't serve you now. So what we learn on hypnobirthing is to create a bubble where you're going to have like a bubble of positivity and empowerment and feeling safe. So we work on those to explain. What is one exercise I do with them is like, okay, tell me what are your fears and what are your kind of strength. What do you want and what you don't want? What is okay and I can negotiate and what is non-negotiable? And we work on that because it comes from what is happening. So it's not the same for someone who have a bad experience previously. That's what they want. They don't want to repeat that. So we need to work on that. I hope I explained to you a bit what it is. The subconscious is like...
Go ahead. For me, it would be also... I could imagine, you know, when I decide to have children, that I would just say, okay, I'm going to put so much information in my head about positive birthing, about births, about painless births. Like I would listen to podcasts, TV, I would look at TV shows, I would look at whatever I can to really change my image of birth.
Yes.
Like I would, that's one thing I would do.
That's one of the things we tell them as well to say. Write a note to say, unless you have something positive to say to me about birth, do not bother. We can talk about that once I have my baby. And I make that on my, when I was pregnant, I was working in fetal medicine unit. That is the hardest part to work because it's where everybody comes with problems. So I have to constantly at the start of the job and when I finish to take that energy away and I say, this is not me. I'm safe. Me and my baby, I'm safe. Because it's important. Because otherwise you bring that on and you start thinking, and I didn't really enjoy my pregnancy until I was 25 weeks because of that. Oh, let's see the next scan. Let's see what happened. Because what I do for living. But it helps that to say, don't watch the news. I promise you by the end of that pregnancy, the news is still the same. There's still wars. There's people being killed, people stealing money, bad weather. It's all the same. So for these purposes, for this period of time to build up a new kind of calm and safe place, we need to focus on the positive. If it's people, I mean, we cannot tell the family that a bit of a pain to say, don't come, but we can create strategies to make the visit short and sweet, or not that often. Another thing I tell the parents is to parents to be to say, do not say the exact time of delivery, like the due day, because it's more likely that never happened on that day. So add it 2 weeks, so you got that freedom, because otherwise people are calling. Are the baby yet? Do you have the baby? Well, obviously not. Yeah, so this kind of thing to not increase that in energy negative. Because what is important from the mind, then is when you create that new kind of vision and the new more positive experience and feelings, also is how you connect and use the hormones and the stress balance with the calm. So it's with the nerve system. So you got the parasympathetic system or the sympathetic system. So the sympathetic system is not very funny at all, because it's the one who is keeping you all the time. It wants you to fight, okay? It wants you to survive. It's the one that keeps you alert. And that is the one who is going to connect you to the cortex. And that's the one when you go into labor, you want to shut down. You want to go back into the subconscious mind. That is using the parasympathetic system. That is the one we use for digestion, for sleepy time, for relaxing. Yeah. And that's what we want. And the reason is, I'm going to use this. That's one of the techniques I use on the courses. Welcome to the uterus. And inside that is the baby head. So with the uterus, when we are in a calm space, we're not having fears or things like that, the blood flow goes to the organs that are important that you need. So when you are in a calm state, normally it goes to the stomach, to the digestion system, to restore the body, things like that, with the hormones.
I just want to say real quick, if you're listening to the podcast, then Paula just blew up a balloon, and then that's what she's showing us.
Yes, so I'm sorry. Yeah, I forgot about that. So basically with the balloon, what we simplified here is how the stress levels are not good for an effective labor or progress of labor. So then if you are in labor, what we want is that all the energy, all the blood flow goes into the uterus. So the more it goes there, the more it goes to the baby as well. So when we tense, if something scares us, if we don't know what's going to be the next step, if we don't know the people that are looking after us, if we, whatever fear you got while you're in labor, what you're doing is tensing. So you're tensing your abdominal muscles. So it's basically when you press in the middle of the stomach, so nothing happened. So if you look at this end bit of the mouth of the balloon, is the image of the cervix, where it's keeping the neck of the womb that keeps the baby in there. Nothing happened, nothing moves. So what happened is most people are very tired and they have long labors. Some women say, I've been in labor for 3 days. And I'm like, something didn't work in there. It's not you or your body, it's the environment who didn't help you to go into labor. So when we allow the parasympathetic system to act, the blood goes to the body, so the rest of the muscles relax and they can do the action. And what it's doing, as you breathe and use the techniques, you are breathing, making the uterus to work in partnership to each other. So as we press, the uterus gets sorted and sorted. So that's why most of the women who have use hypnobirthing and they understand these principles and connecting mind with body and the hormones have shorter labors. Most of them, you don't feel they are tense. They go inwards in labor. The first time I ever saw someone having hypnobirthing was when I was training. And I had to check very quietly, go there, check she was breathing, because she spent 6 hours just lying in bed doing nothing. Well, doing nothing, she was. And all of a sudden call and say, I'm ready to push. And I'm like, so it's just like amazing how she went, like no noises, nothing, just lying down, relax. And she had the baby because she used all the techniques. So she went into the body. The difference is we always these days want to use always this, like the cortex is the control. we forgot about emotions. We don't allow kids. We are not allowed, since they are kids, don't cry. Don't do that. Oh, that's nothing when they fall. We don't validate the emotions. So when it comes labor, we got people in some countries, they still tell you, well, don't get pregnant then next time. You know what you're coming here for? That can be very rude. So that is literally blocking your hormones, the blood flow of the hormones. Okay. To go into labor, to have babies, you need the oxytocin. That is the love hormone. And to create that hormone, you need to be relaxed. If you're not relaxed, you release adrenaline. That causes the opposite. It makes you stressed. You go into a flight, fight, or freeze reaction. Yeah. So that is why hypnobirthing helps put all the pieces together. The normal medical antenatal classes only focus on the process, basically on the anatomy. And they ignore completely that the body doesn't work on its own, that without the hormones, you cannot go into labor, that without the right environment, you will end up going, but you will take longer. That's what we always say, stay at home. The midwives are like, you okay? Stay at home, stay at home. Don't come yet. Because the sooner you come to the hospital, the more possibilities of interventions. That when it's needed, I'm the first one. So I don't want to go into black or white. I mean, hypnobirthing works for any type of delivery. It's not just for home birth, or it's not just to go in the water. It's not just, it could work for anything. And I have a good kind of rainbow colors of different experience of birth with my clients, and the experience is amazing. And it's not only works for the mom, so that's probably the best outcome for the moms, but it works for the father or the birth partner, and it works for the baby. Babies born in this kind of environment where it's more calm, more relaxed, the levels of adrenaline, cortisol, and all that is small, so they got more oxytocin. They can get more attached to the mother. The breastfeeding, if you want, will be easier. But they keep the effect for later. My son, he was the most lie-back guy ever. I mean, I don't remember him crying. Like, and if he wants something, it was like, wah. Like so lazy, like hello, not lazy, but you know what I mean. Compared with other kids, he was amazing. And he will recognize this. The music I used to put when I was pregnant to get that anchor is the music I put through labor. And he will recognize. So if he was a bit unsettled, I just put that track and he will be. Wow. He's already connected. So birth is the way we birth is also important for them. And it's also important for the partner, for the person that is with you, either the father of the baby or thing. Because when you are in the room, you also release oxytocin. And the father will connect with that. You only need one person with a bad energy in the room to stop labor for that person. And it's not the first time I say someone, do you mind? Not just say leave, but say, I think it's time for you to go for a coffee. And by the time it comes, baby's out or things like that. So it's very, very important. But hypnobirthing covers a lot of techniques and tools. So it's like what the person needs. And it has to be very individualized. Those programs who are all, okay, here you go, just do that. It doesn't work because we all have different fears. We all have different situations. So it has to be all included, and also being very, you know, clear on the what your expectations are. So that is very important. But I think everybody in my hospital, we offer for to everybody, basically. It makes our life easier as well as midwives. And it should be something that should be offered to, as a part of the antenatal care, it should be offered to every single woman and the families, because they will understand better how the body works. Most women don't know what the contractions, they know what the contractions are, but they don't understand the process. Yeah. So we do breathing. It's like breathing and at the same time, the emotion. So if I ask you to close your eyes now, I want you to think about a very happy, happy moment. or the person you love the most. So for Ivan, maybe now that moment where the baby was born and you know how you feel, right? I want you to feel that is where part of your body you can see that it might be warmth, it might be a light. And I want now for you to memorize that feeling. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Can you see the change of energy in 2 seconds? This is part of the process I do when I see the woman, even if they don't know me, they never train with me, they whatever, are giving bad news, whatever. I say, okay, this is the transition. You cannot be feeling something positive and negative at the same time. Your brain can calibrate that. So we always have to have an anchor to do it. So one of the highest vibrations we go in energy levels is love. So when this couple that maybe not get into an agreement because the partner wants, I won't have to have the epidural in the hospital because it's safer. It's like, what is safe for her? Let's listen and where we can meet. So for me, I wanted a home birth and a husband. It's a building surveyor, so it's looking at the whole house and structure and say, well, I don't think our living room can support the weight. It's like, you told me. It's like, no, I'm not calling you, darling. But it's like, okay, well, I work in the hospital. So the commitment between us was I will go to the birth center. So the birth center is only running by midwives, and you have a pool if you want, or you have your bed, whatever. More like I'm home next to the hospital. And I said, that's the commitment. If they ask me to go to labor work, I turn around. And I go home. I'm not go to labor work. I didn't want it because I thought it's too loud. It's too. I can imagine they're gonna come in, and I don't want my colleagues to see me. Oh no, it's like private. So that was our commitment. So when I can see couples that not get into that agreement, they kind of in the middle, I always do this exercise first. So that maybe asking them, what is? Can you imagine the first time why you fall in love? How is the ask first, is the pregnancy being planned, or is a good thing or is a bad thing, before asking them how do you feel when you found out you were pregnant. But that is very important. So this is what we call anchors. This is what we call that. If you repeat an affirmation without feeling, doesn't make sense. You need to attach it to a feeling so the brain will memorize that, and then it will find reasons for you to find that. Yeah. And that's how innovating helps. But you need to adapt it to different persons. You can have relaxations. And some people said, well, I'm scared of butterflies, so I don't want anything with butterflies. And it's people who are more, for them it's easier to recognize sounds or texture, or they could be more like the smells. So you need to adapt that to them so they can create their own anchors. So having just a finding on internet, whatever, relaxation won't get you anything unless you put it to you. So one of the service I do for my clients is one that tell me the story, and I say, what are you still your worries? What is not working for you? And I made them for them, a specific relaxation for them, with the things they want to hear. And that is boom.
Beautiful.
And they listen to that.
And Paula will actually give you guys a meditation that she made for her clients, so that you guys can hear what she's putting into these meditations. Like, just for one person, of course, an example, but she's going to give you one.
So you can, if you know anyone who is pregnant and you want to have it, you can offer happy to share the love. My husband used to put the meditations loud, different things to do with the meditation. You can put it with your headphones so it feels like it goes embedded in your head. You can put it outside. Don't obviously listen to that if you're driving, please, or cutting things and stuff, because you might drift. One of the questions very common of hypnobirthing people is, I don't think I'm getting anything because I fall asleep straight away as I'm listening. It's like, It's not problems. Your subconscious is listening to it. Do not worry. So my husband, the best ever time that he slept like a baby was while I was pregnant, listening to these meditations. And he always say, by the time he gets to the uterus, I'm deep asleep. My uterus is very relaxed, my husband used to say. It's like, gone. So it helps for everybody. And it was a very good experience. So I was very calm. I was very excited on my birth. The midwives couldn't believe I was in labor because I was too calm, but I was in labor. So I told my husband, I'm going to hide in the toilet because otherwise we're having this baby in the car. And it was a student who came with me and I just said, come with me to the toilet. So she spent half an hour in the toilet. So I was giving her like, no, put your hand here on the top. So I'm sewing the balloon again. So if you do proper relaxation and you let the body take control instead of the head, most of the contractions or the tension, you're going to feel it is above the uterus, so in the top, below the stomach. It's not around the tummy. So what it's doing, because it's muscles, so we have two different type of muscles, and it works in partnership. Like when you bend your arm, the triceps stretch, the biceps bend or shorten. So this is the same. We got two lines, so the longitudinal and the circular. So they work together. So as I pull up, the cervix open. So it makes the baby to come out easily. When someone is not using that and is only breathing like what it's doing is pressing. It's like being in a lift and closing the door for you. We need to open. The we call in the waves. So we use different language because some people contractions already for years since you are a baby, contractions are bad. I've got a contracture here. So the contractions feels pain. So we change that for waves because actually it's like a wave. And that's the representation on the machine we use to check for the baby's heartbeat and the contractions. We see like mountains. So we rather use the waves. And I used to tell my clients, imagine you're surfing it. So just go with it and use your breathing according to the intensity that it is there. So they need to practice first. During pregnancy, and we practice like the dilatation period is a different breathing that the when the baby's coming out.
Great, thank you so much for that. So what we're going to do now is we're going to Paula, if you have a few more minutes, perfect. And then if you guys, Deanna and Ivan, if you have a few more minutes, you can stay on. If not, you can ask your questions and I'll make sure they get answered. You can write them or you can ask them. But Deanna, great question, because we're going to get to that too. So Deanna says, Paula, I'm a doula and childbirth educator for 12 years. I'd love some specific training in creating a hypnosis for my clients. Do you have any trainings online? So Paula, do you personally have any trainings online? Or is there any other places that you recommend where people can get educated on hypnobirthing?
Both. So at the moment, I have to put it in, it won't be anything before February because I'm finishing my master's and I have no time. So I keep that on hold until I do all the research stuff. But if you are in a hurry, you want to do it sooner, I can put you in contact with the online places where you can do it. So I will suggest that you do the specific hypnobirthing training. So you go all in that and we evolve. So now we teach people how to create your own kind of scripts so you're not messed up with anything. So it's kind of a few steps that you need to follow. But once you start, it's very easy because if you already connected with the client, you know exactly what they want to hear. And when it's in your own words, they've been with you. It's another anchor. It's like you are in the room with them. So it's amazing. So yeah, I can pass you that. No problem. But I'm personally not going to do anything until February.
Okay. And what we're going to do is Paula, you can send all the info to me. And then I can also drop that underneath the podcast. So people who listen to the podcast, because I'm going to publish it to the podcast so that they can also go to the training places. And then once you have your stuff in February, I'll go re-edit that as well. So people can go do that. Okay, Ivan, you look like you have a question.
Yeah, thank you for that. And I can totally relate as the partner using hypnobirth while meditation to calm down, actually, until I stepped into what I knew that is calming for me is when I could actually help my partner to settle. And we did a whole process on our own, mostly, even though we had, you know, before midwife and doula, but it was mostly the two of us. But my question was, well, I said it in the chat. So there, you talked about, and this is so true, there's so much in our subconscious around birth is painful. You're going to need to be at the hospital. You're going to need an epidural. No, you can't do birth naturally. So how do you explore beforehand how much is there already? Like, do you use hypnotherapies to get into those questions? Or, I mean, with doulas, usually, like, we went through a lot of questions that were, like, actually trying to get into that and tap into our fears and what is there. Yeah, so I'm not sure what is actually your technique.
Personally, I do more that because I let them, rather than me guessing or interpreting what they say, we go through things. So they tell me the story. So I want to know if they know how was their own experience of birth, how is in the family, sister, you know, sister-in-laws, cousins, what is going on in their life, what is the experience about birth they had, and then if they have any previous ones, that's what we explore. So the first, always my first consultation to be sure if we are a fit and it works is going through that things and say, okay, what do you expect from that? And I do in any kind of program I do or whatever it's like, because it's for them. I mean, at the end of the day, what I want is a good experience for them as well. And it comes, the answer comes from themselves, like telling stories. And when they talk, and it's like, there you go. So it was, one of my clients was very clear, was saying like, I don't think I can give birth. It's like, what do you mean? Like, no woman in my family have had a vaginal birth. They are all C-section. So they've been telling me since I was a kid, well, you're going to have it because something wrong with us, something with the pelvis. And I said, well, have your mom, your sister, your auntie, and your all your cousins have an examination of the pelvis? Have they have an MRI or any kind of test to see if they really narrow? No, this is just there. So she did the program, she was going into labor, and it was stuck in 9 centimeters. So one of the things I offer on my private clients, one-to-one, is that they can contact me while I'm in labor. So I'm on the phone with them. So the husband called me, because they have the number, and then the husband get the number the day they go into labor, so because they're going to have to call me, not the woman. And he says, please talk to her. Something is not right. She just stopped. So I talked to her, and I said, what's the fear? It's like, I don't know. It's not happening. It's like, it's happening. It's okay to feel that. You are in the stage that now the adrenaline kicking, because you need to be sure you're safe. So is anything in the environment is bothering you? Okay, and we did an exercise in there of breathing, the same exercise I did you of happiness, the love. It's like, imagine your baby is there. It's there, it's coming. I want you to anticipate. You holding your baby like you're doing, even like that. I said, imagine that. So the doctors came. I keep the phone. So I told the husband, keep the phone on. I want to listen to the conversation. And the midwife was very proactive to, no, don't touch her. Let give you time. See, when the doctor say, okay, you're stuck. It's been a long time. So all the wrong words. You're not progressing. It's not working. I'm going to prepare theater. We're having a C-section. Not even asking, well, shall we do this? It was like protocol says that. So she say, hell no, I'm having a C-section. I'm not going to be like my mother. And she just went. By the time the doctor came, the head of the baby was out. How is possible that in less than 15 minutes, a woman can go from 15 minutes from 9 centimeters to babies out? Because she got blocked. Okay, so sometimes it's just that. And it's not being lucky. It's just sometimes we stopped. I stopped my placenta for coming out for 4 hours. No bleeding, nothing. She was sitting there until the doctor I knew came and I said, okay, fine. I'm safe now.
Thank you for sharing that as well. And I wanted to add that what I did with, like, I had a few friends who were pregnant this year, and they were asking me, like, you know, hey, can we do a hypnosis or whatever? And I've actually worked with them, and some of them also had these beliefs. And then there was another client that I've had. She had a first traumatic birth. And then what we did was we spoke to her unborn baby in the belly, and we asked him, like, hey, what does your mom need? Like, what does she need to understand? And that really helped her. And now her third birth has not been problematic at all. So this helps as well. Like, or, you know, just try to have her find the answer, because I'm not the expert here. I am not pregnant, but they will find their own answers, like you said, Paula. And this is what I teach the students here in the training as well. It's just like they need to find their own answers and they need to work through whatever it is that they've had, like their traumatic birth or, you know, the beliefs from their families. So that really helped as well for them. And even I can now say that I have, with my hypnosis, induced the birth of my friend because she trusted me so much, because she was someone who had everybody ask, like, when is the baby coming? When is the baby coming? When is the baby coming? And then she called me. She was like, Jenny, okay, we can do a hypnosis now. I'm ready. I am ready to birth now. So we can do a hypnosis now, and then we can have him come. And like a few hours later,
amazing.
The baby was on the way. So it was a really great experience as well.
Okay. Yeah, it's one of the things I say, just either lie about the due date, and people say, well, how am I going to do this now? As you say, you have a scan and they change it. That's fine. No, they don't need to know, but it gives you that space to not worry, because, yeah, it's constantly. And it happened to me as well. So when we went into labor, I told my husband, I know the dynamic the family had. So he constantly testing each other. It's like, you are here for me. So no phones. Lucky the universe gave me those options where the room where we were, there were no signal.
Yay.
So then the baby was born, and, well, just told them like 4 hours later. Some of them were really cross because you didn't say anything. It's like, my answer was like, did I call you when I conceived? No. So that's the same. That's private. That's between my husband and I. So, yeah. Compensate with them coming and visit the baby the next day. It wasn't a problem. Because that's another thing. When you have hypnosis at birth, the recovery is much better because the hormones are balanced. And I noticed that it reduced the amount of postnatal depressions, and the moms feel like, woof, I'm a goddess. Honestly, it's the difference, because you feel it, regardless that you have a C-section or you end up having, unfortunately, instrumental delivery or anything like that. It's just the fact that you did all and you were involved, amazing, because that's what we fail here. We do things to the women.
Yeah. And
so
I
when
think,
you ask the questions, how to do things, sorry, Ivan, you said that, what do you think? Pass the ball. Like, let them women to really find out what's the problem. Like with us, start with us. Every single problem, all is in within. The answer is within.
Yeah, and it's so great, like you're saying this, like it's everything that I want anyone to know. And I think everybody should listen to this conversation that we had today, because it's something that all of us need to know. And it really reinforces also everything that I teach to my students, like you have the answer within. And the more you practice that, the more you will find the answers within. So thank you so much for that. And I'm going to leave it up to one more question if you guys want. One more question. So do you guys have any more questions?
Like how much, like everything that I've saw was, it's all about the woman trusting their body. And like even our midwife told us, hey, like my partner was like, I'm pushing. Like she had contractions, so she was like, I cannot just stop pushing. Like they were like, but it's too early. We cannot come. Just, you know, go to bed. And she's like, no, I just can't. So, you know, it was even that process of, well, you trust the doula. So, but then you have to step into just trusting your own self.
Yeah. And that's where you also enter in there as a helping, because you know her the best. You're going to be the advocate for her. But the problem is the midwife goes by protocols. We want everybody to go the same. So if it's your first baby, you need 4 hours. How's possible that I was first time mom and I have my baby in 2 hours? 2 hours. And no one's believed me. I was like, well, I know. And I was just almost swearing. And I say, I'm a midwife. I know what I'm doing. No, but you're the mom first time. It's like, I know what I'm doing. So yeah, always, always trust your body. Mm-hmm. Always.
Thank you.
It is, yeah. Is birthing is intuitive as well. Always being. Always.
It is, and it's the connection between the divine and the earth. Like that's why it's, yeah. That's what it is. And yeah, in the meantime, Paula, I also want to thank you so much for coming on. And like I said, I'm going to push this out so hard because I feel like everyone needs to hear that, men and women and people who want to birth and people who maybe think about it or whatever. Like I really, this has really been really amazing. So, okay, we have Deanna back. Let's see if she's...
I'm so grateful for all the birth workers out there that are helping women feel empowered and trust their bodies in birth. So thank you, Paula, for the work you do. And I live in a remote area in the mountains. And so we can't do home birth in this area. And our hospital is 45 minutes away, our nearest hospital. So I really have to the mothers and the partners mentally, like trusting the process and ready before we go to the hospital. So I work with them weeks and weeks before they have the baby. But I would love to add in the hypnosis piece. I've been just giving them the hypnobirthing app because even though I do hypnosis, for whatever reason, I've had a bit of a resistance in creating my own for my doula clients. So I would love some guidance, or maybe if you have one to share, it could kind of help get me going on creating my own recordings for them. So I think it would be really powerful.
Yeah, that's what we thought. So you guys are going to get that for sure. You guys are going to get that. That's amazing. Perfect.
Thank you.
And then you asked what country Paula is in. Paula is now in the UK.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Nice. Okay.
Cool. So I'm going to wrap this up now, guys, because I have another meeting in 15 minutes that I have to prepare for. But okay. Thank you so much for coming on, for asking your questions. Paula, I cannot thank you enough. This was absolutely incredible. I love this conversation. Like I said, I'll push it out everywhere. And yeah, thank you guys so much for being here and for spreading the knowledge of this conversation as well, because I think it's so, 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 so important. Okay, and everyone.
And Ivan, good to see a dad with a baby. It's good to see Ivan there with his baby skin to skin. I love that.
Yes.
Thank you.
We're so happy for you. Congratulations again.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, trusting the earth. I think you put it like that, Jenny. And I think that's where the subconscious getting there, right? Is like what we forgot, and that we're just like paired to earth and we can just get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you guys, and have a great rest of your day. And I'll speak to all of you guys anyway. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Love this episode of Mind Your Subconscious? Subscribe, rate, and leave a review on whichever platform you're listening. It's very much appreciated. Thank you so much.